We are back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, talking with our guests from NBAF, the National Bio and Agri Defense Facility, Dr. Ken Burton, Katie Pulaski, and Veronica Friss, who is the Quality Assurance Manager. And before we move on here, I know Dr. Burton had something he wanted to add to Katie's comments there on that last question about phased transition. So go ahead, Dr. Burton.
Sure. Thanks, Brandon. And really appreciated Katie's update on the time schedule here. And basically just wanted to share that, you know, a lot of times what originally looked like challenges for the schedule from the perspective of construction in relation to the pandemic and USDA moving in actually has become a real opportunity for us, because what originally was going to be completion of construction and then USDA moves in, the opportunity that opened up was there's several technical upgrades that have occurred between 2012 and 2021 that by taking this phase transition approach, it's allowed the construction team to do these modifications to allow for higher quality technology to be installed and implemented at NBAF that otherwise would have had to occur after USDA moved in. So by doing this phase transition, the construction can continue to completion, but at the same time, as Katie mentioned, we're able to start moving our USDA personnel in and begin actually assuming operations much better and much more efficiently than what we maybe could have if we had just moved in all at once.
All right. Well, and it's interesting, you know, we got word yesterday from the city about Kimball Avenue going to be closing. It's something we've known about for a while that's going to occur from Denison to Manhattan Avenue. I'm just curious, will that have any impact on what's going on at NBAF, or have you guys had to adjust anything with that?
Great question, Brandon. And actually, our security team's been working closely with the city of Manhattan in anticipation of that closure. And they actually gave a briefing to the unit leads yesterday of the change in routes for delivery routes and some of the things that we'll need to do. But they've been working with the city close enough that we've got some pretty good alternative plans that'll allow everything to continue to work as needed.
All right, very good. Well, tell us what NBAF leadership is doing to establish a culture that encourages people to speak up about concerns.
Well, look, like Veronica shared in the first segment, you know, the safety and quality is critical to NBAF's successful mission. And, you know, we've talked several times in previous radio programs about how important this is put at the top of our consideration by NBAF leadership. And so the leadership feels that it's critical that we establish that culture of safety and quality at NBAF. Veronica's efforts are going to be really critical to accomplishing that, her and her team. But we're working all the time with our staff to make sure that not only our staff, but the researchers that will move from Plum Island understand the importance of making safety a key characteristic of who we are and not just what we do. And I think that's something that actually the team from Plum Island has the ability to reinforce when they move to Manhattan, and they'll bring that with them when they come, because, you know, Plum Island's been in operation safely since 1954. So they bring over 65 years of a true tradition of safety and quality standards with them. And so we want to build on that culture and create that culture of safety and quality here at NBAF. That what we really want is we want to provide a comfort level amongst everybody at NBAF that it emphasizes speaking up because you have a level of expertise or you have an awareness that maybe someone else doesn't have, and not because you carry a level of authority. And so that's kind of the base of the concept that Veronica was speaking about with the high reliability organization. So, you know, there's that factor. And then also we're working really hard to try and engage our employees and our new employees as part of a team at NBAF and emphasize the importance of engaging with our team, because we've mentioned this before too, but we've onboarded over 160 new employees virtually over the last 20 months. So there's many that we have never actually met face-to-face. So the challenge of building that team feeling and that engagement among not only the new employees, but the employees that have been here for a couple of years. It's really critical. So we have a consulting contract with a firm that is helping us work through that team building. And so we do some team building exercises with leadership, with our team members at the unit level, and then also at the supervisory level. And then we're trying to integrate all of those to have, you know, as we move onto the campus and start taking over more responsibilities for operations, and then as we begin to move scientists here, we really want to be able to start with that team feeling and have everybody understand the importance of having that as our culture.
All right. Well, last month we spoke about possible industry collaborations. Katie, Ken, whoever wants to answer this, what other opportunities make this area the ideal location for NBAF?
I can start out, Brandon, and then Katie can add in. You know, last month we had Steve Woody, our biologics development module director, on and talked about the importance of how the BDM will be able to work with industry partnerships. So the BDM will take the basic research that's being done at NBAF and be able to take that applied science and share it with industry partners to develop new products that will prevent foreign animal disease outbreaks throughout the world, outside of the domestic boundaries, as well as how that product can be developed within the United States. Many of you have heard about the Animal Health Corridor, and you know, that's a stretch, kind of a virtual corridor that goes from Columbia, Missouri, up north to St. Joseph, Missouri, and Manhattan's the western border of it. But within that corridor, over 50% of all of the world's animal health companies have some form of a footprint within there. So the opportunity by NBAF being here in the Midwest to be able to collaborate and work with those companies is tremendous. We also, you know, here locally, we've got some really nice collaborations that have developed. The K-State's College of Veterinary Medicine, a good example is our animal resource unit team. We aren't bringing animals to the facility yet, but the College of Veterinary Medicine has a clinical skills laboratory that has models of animals that can be used to learn different techniques and procedures. And so our animal resource personnel could go over this summer and work there and learn some techniques on the models that in anticipation of being able to work on the actual animals. Our Biosecurity Research Institute at Kansas State, you know, we had the NBAF Laboratory and Training Program, which is for students that are interested in making a career working in high containment laboratories. This was the second year of that, so that's been a very great collaboration and partnership, as well as the opportunity to be able to use the training laboratory at the Biosecurity Research Institute. So, you know, not only collaborations with K-State, but we're reaching out and developing those partnerships and collaborations with other land-grant universities across the nation. So that's critical. And then on an international basis, we've been really pleased and excited that, you know, Katie was part of a panel on communications between high containment laboratories internationally last week. There's a group called the BSL-4ZNet that is a group organization of collaborations between high containment laboratories, both on the animal and human side. And Katie was part of a program there. And Katie, if you want to visit a little bit more about those partnerships and your collaboration with the BSL-4ZNet.
Yeah, sure thing, Dr. Burton. So, yeah, it was a great opportunity. It's, you know, it's so important for these teams nationally as well as internationally to work together to share best practices and, you know, even with related to communication. So, you know, we're lucky we have some really great partnerships with the National Centers for Animal Health in Ames, Iowa, of course, as well as the Plum Island Animal Disease Center, which both have BSL-2 and 3 livestock capabilities. But, you know, with NBAF being the first U.S. facility with biosafety level 4 laboratories capable of handling large livestock and only the 5th in the world, it it's so important for us to collaborate and learn from those other BSL-4 labs. And so as Dr. Burton mentioned, we are part of this network of animal and public health organizations from 5 countries. And it's called Biosafety Level 4 Zoonotic Laboratory Network, or BSL-4 ZNET. And this group was really established to respond to current and emerging high-consequence biothreats through strong international partnerships. So another example of a laboratory that's part of that is the CDC. Just last week I had the opportunity to participate in a panel discussion at their conference, the BSL-4 ZNET International Conference, where we talked about the role that openness has in laboratory biorisk management. And that includes, you know, community engagement, outreach, and just why it's important for us to talk publicly and within the community about the work that we do. One of the ideas that came up that I'm really excited about was to possibly create an international group of communicators to collaborate on best practices for sharing information related to high containment labs. So really excited about that possibility.
All right. And Katie, I see you wrote a nice op-ed in the Manhattan Mercury a few weeks ago, and I encourage people to go read that. It has some good information in it.
You know, it's great, Brandon. Just being out in the community, people will stop me and say, hey, you know, read your recent article. You know, really love hearing about what's going on at MBAS. So I'm glad to have that opportunity, as well as this one, Brandon, that you bring us on each month. We really appreciate that.
Absolutely. Glad to do it. And it was a pleasure to meet you, Veronica. Thanks for being part of our program here today.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Burton, and thank you, Katie, as well.
Thank you, Brandon. I sure appreciate it.
Have a great day, Brandon.
You too. That's going to wrap up our first half of the show. Stay tuned. We'll hear from General Wiggins up next here on News Radio KMAN.